Earlier this week, I did an assembly on the theme of harvest at one of the local schools. I'd say it's a time of year where lots of us are thinking about harvest. And as part of the assembly, I laid out 10 tins of baked beans on a table at the front. And then I said to the children, imagine for a moment that your next door neighbours have run out of food. They've opened their cupboards and the cupboards are empty. You have in your cupboards 10 tins of baked beans. How many tins of beans would you be willing to share with your neighbours? This was a group of 6 to 8-year-olds. I asked them to put their hands up and to share their answers, and this is what they said. The first child said, well, it's obvious I would share the tins of beans equally, 5 for me and 5 for them. Brilliant children's logic, fair. That's obviously some parenting at home that's like total equality. The second child rather smugly said, I don't like baked beans, so I would give all 10 tins away. There's always one who will subvert the task. The third child, I thought this was really interesting actually, the third child said, well, I'd give them 2 tins of beans to start with, and then if they needed more, they could come back and get it. I thought that was quite an adult answer actually, like I'm going to help you, but not too much. Fourth child said that they would give all 10 tins of beans to their neighbours because they knew that they had money and that they could buy some more food if they needed it. And the fifth child said that she would invite her neighbours into her home and they would share the beans together in a meal. That, I thought, was a really good answer. At that point, I thought, oh, kids are amazing. I'd have given the 2 tins of beans like that pragmatic child. I wonder how many you would give. They give us a real insight into the way that those children are developing their thinking about giving. And undoubtedly, underneath those responses are some values, some ideas perhaps that they've picked up at home, or maybe just an innate sense of justice about what you do when you are lucky enough to have 10 tins of beans. As I said a moment ago, what we're doing this morning in church is thinking about giving, and we're going to look at the 2 Bible readings that we heard, and I want to think particularly about what a sort of uniquely Christian approach to giving is, and I want to think especially about giving to the church. Next week at Harvest, we'll think a bit more about how our actions impact others. But let's begin by looking at some of the principles that we see in Exodus. After the Israelites were freed from slavery in Egypt, they were a nomadic people who were living in the desert. And so through Moses, God instructed his people to build what they called a tabernacle at the center of their camp. The tabernacle was a large tent, and it was said to be God's dwelling place. It was God's house, and it was a physical reminder that God was with his people right there in the center of the camp. And it also meant, because they were nomadic, that when the people moved to another part of the desert, the tabernacle was portable, which meant the presence of God moved with them. So wherever they went, they knew that God was there alongside them. So what we hear in Exodus 35 are some very specific instructions about what they need to do to create the tabernacle. And if you're like me, normally I get to a passage like that and I go, oh, whoa, it's just a list of stuff, and I skirt over it, sort of like it's one of those bits of the Bible. But actually, if you look a bit more closely, there are some interesting principles at work. Now, the first thing that Moses says is in verse 5. He says, from what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring the Lord an offering. So 2 principles in that one sentence. The first is that you give from what you have. So it's not like a sort of taxation system where whatever you have, whether it's a lot or a little, everybody has to pay the same. This is a recognition you have what you have and you give from what you have. And then as a demonstration of that, there's a whole list of things that people might give. So it mentions precious metals, linen, dyes, leather, wood, oil that will make the incense. So when you give from the resources that you have. The second principle in this little passage is that everyone who is willing is to bring an offering to God, which means we are free to choose. My husband was telling me the other day that he was walking over one of the bridges over the Thames in central London, and he passed a woman who tried to give him some lucky heather. Maybe you have been in this position before. Now, he knew that she would grab his arm and demand money from him, and so he refused to accept the heather. And at that point, she sort of uttered some words, I guess words like a curse, over him. He then stopped her and challenged her and said, I won't receive that, I'm not accepting it, and, you know, put her in a place. But it was quite an unpleasant encounter, because actually, in effect, what was going on in that little meeting was the woman was saying, if you don't give me your money, I'll curse you. So it's a bit of an unpleasant power dynamic going there to kind of make the person hand over their money. I think it's really important that when it comes to Christian giving, that we understand it is the absolute antithesis of that, the complete opposite. God's grace and love are offered to us freely. So he doesn't expect or demand anything in return. Whether or not we respond to him, he still loves us and he still offers his grace to us. So when we give, we don't give out of guilt. We don't give out of fear. We don't give because we're trying to avoid bad luck, which was exactly what was happening with that scenario with the heather. We don't give because God coerces us to and we feel that we have to. So in verse 21, we're told, everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of the tent of meeting. So I really like that. Partly because when you're the vicar and you get the sermon that's all about giving and you have to stand at the front and encourage everyone to give, it's a little bit uncomfortable. So I guess by naming this, I'm saying, yeah, we are talking about giving, but it is a choice and you are free. And I really like that in this passage. So we give to the church because we choose to give, and actually because we want to give. The next principle for giving is in verse 10, and Moses says, all who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. So giving to the church isn't just about material resources, it's also about using our skills to fulfill God's purposes. And then we're told very specifically in verse 26, all the women who were willing, got that word again, and had the skill, spun the goat hair that was going to make the fabric sides of the tent. It's an interesting little side note there, because I guess ordinarily it would be just the men who were involved in doing the work of God. So it very specifically is saying here, the women were using their skills too. So in order to create this tent, this visible symbol of God's presence, people gave an offering from what they had and people used their skills. And so creating the tabernacle was a work of the whole community. I think that's really important. It wasn't Moses saying, God's given me a job and you have to help me. It's Moses saying, God has given us a job and this is what we need to do. Earlier this week, I read an article by a church leader entitled, Your Church Does Not Need Volunteers. What? I said. What the heck? That made me read that article. It was a very interesting article, and I'd like to read you a couple of paragraphs from it. So, Your Church Does Not Need Volunteers. She wrote, to volunteer means that you are an outside resource stepping in to help an organisation in need. Volunteering is what we do when we pick up rubbish in the park or when we help sort food at the food bank. It's what I do, she says, when I help at my child's school on Fridays. In other words, it's what you do at a place that is important to you, but not at a place that belongs to you. And this is an important distinction for me, she says. You cannot volunteer at your own church in the same way you cannot babysit your own kids, because they're your kids. The church belongs to you, in the same way that your family belongs to you. It is your own place. It is your own people. So of course you help to take care of it. Of course you do repairs and make coffee and teach the kids and sing in the choir. A volunteer in most cases is just visiting. It's not the same as belonging to something. It's not the same as contributing to something bigger than you, something that is part of who you are. I thought that was really helpful. Especially the bit about you don't babysit your own kids, you don't volunteer at your own church. This is just part of what it means to belong. And that's what we see happening here in Exodus 35. Like I say, Moses is not asking the people to help him with his special job that God has entrusted to him. Moses has been given the message that God wants them to work together to build the tabernacle. It is a responsibility entrusted to the whole community. If we fast forward to our second reading from Matthew's Gospel, we see something similar going on, but this time the focus has shifted slightly. When God's people were in the desert, the presence of God was in the tabernacle, in the big tent at the centre of the camp. Then later on, they had the temple at Jerusalem, which became that sort of permanent fixture, the visible symbol of the presence of God. Then when we get to the Gospels, Jesus becomes the visible symbol of the presence of God. So it's no longer in a tent, it's no longer in a building, it is now in a person. And then in our reading from Matthew, Jesus sends out his disciples with these instructions. As you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So Jesus isn't asking his disciples to help and assist him with the task of proclaiming the message. He is sending them out to do it themselves. So in effect, they are becoming the visible symbols of the presence of God. So when they share the message, when people look at them, they are reminded that God is with them. So that presence of God has gone from the tabernacle, the tent, it's gone to the temple, it's gone to the person of Jesus, and now it is in the disciples. So in Exodus, people give their skills and their resources to build the tabernacle. And then in Matthew, people give their skills and resources to continue the work that Jesus has started. On your way into church this morning, you have hopefully been given a finance update, an A4 sheet. And the purpose of that update is to tell you about what is happening with our parish. It's not the finance team telling you, here's some information for you. This is saying, this is what's happening in our church. This is what is the news regarding our finances. And you'll notice that in it we sort of say, here's what's going well, here are some of the challenges that are coming up, some of the potential expenses. And we are inviting you to consider your giving to the church because we want to do two things. We want to help keep this physical meeting space in good repair. Because we do use it. We come here, and this is one of the places where we encounter God. But we're also inviting you to give so that we can continue the work that Jesus has started, so that we can resource one another to go and do what Jesus does in the Gospels. Many people are under the impression that as a Church of England church, we must get external funding. We must get grants and subsidies that come from the government that help pay for our buildings. We don't. We don't get any external funding whatsoever. That means that everything that we do is funded by us. Everything. Looking after the building, cleaning the toilets, running the food bank, running the new ESOL class, offering ministry to children. Everything that we do is funded and resourced and supported and skilled by us. We are the people who are called and sent to continue the work of Jesus. And when we give, that is what we are giving to. We are giving to continue the work of Jesus. When I asked in assembly how many tins of beans the children would share with their neighbours, my favourite answer was definitely the child who said, well, I'd invite them to come into my house and we'd all have dinner together. And I think that, for me, really captures the biblical spirit of giving. It isn't about me doing my individual bit, but it is about being something that we do together, something that we are building together, and we all give into that sort of central vision, that central ideal, central hope, and we build it as a community. So that's one of the things that I wanted to sort of share this morning to help us think a bit more about our giving. And as I say, you've got some information in the finance update, and then have a think about how you want to respond to that. But as I say, it's not about each of us doing our bit. It's about saying we do what we can, but we do it together, building as a community. Amen.